Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host of Women Who Lead Radio, and with me today is our leading lady. I'm very excited about this. I've known this woman for a long time. She is a total geek girl, and our leading lady today is the CEO and co-founder of Geek Girl, which is Leslie Fishlock. And our topic today is that we are looking and want geek girls wanted, become a tech superhero. So, Leslie, welcome to the show, you geek, you superhero, and say hello to all of our listeners.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Michelle. Thank you so much for allowing us to be here.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to have you on the show. And it's like, I know you have quite the passion for women in technology and helping young girls and women to kind of embrace tech and computers and all of that. Can you start with, because I know there's really a cool story that you have about how, I think it was through a conversation, you kind of said, I need to really look at helping to empower girls and women more about technology and computers and all that. Can you share the story as a set off to our show today?
I was in the dot-com bust back in Boston, and you just didn't have a lot of women in the technical side, engineering side, and programming side. So from that, I had started my own development company, and most of the people I dealt with were not women. we didn't have any female developers at our company, but I did have a lot of friends who were having lots of questions on tech, and, you know, just because I know how to fix a printer, they think I know how to fix their computer, and I know how to do this and pick out a TV for them and everything, and that's, you know, I know a lot about tech, but not everybody knows everything about tech. So what I started doing while I was working full-time with my development company and doing sites around the world was I would meet weekly at the coffee shop near my house with some of my friends, and then it was like Wella Balsam. I tell two friends, and you tell two friends, and you tell two friends. So it grew from, you know, a couple of ladies to 10 to 20. The biggest group was like in the 30s, and then it was like, hey, we got to do something like one night because this is getting too big. So we did a night of technology for 3 hours, and a lot of people joked around because my house was on Cape Cod at the time in the middle of winter where 3/4 of the population leaves, and everyone said, oh, you're not going to get 20 women interested in 3 hours of technology on a weeknight. Well, over 100 people showed up, and I knew from you know, they were very passionate about learning more about technology for their businesses. So from there, it turned into a boot camp the next year, which a couple hundred people showed up at, and then it became a tech conference, and now we have tech conferences in several cities around the country, including San Diego, and we have Boston, and we do one back on Cape Cod in April.
Not the winter time. That's a good one. You do it in April now.
There's more people hanging out there before the summer starts.
Right. Well, hey, you know, I'm curious. What are some of the biggest challenges that you see? You know, because I have to say, you know, I'm going to call myself, and I am a baby boomer, and, you know, embracing technology. When I grew up, you know, I remember the key punch card. You know, when I was in banking, and I was in our automation division, and things were just, you know, it was before imaging technology and all of this. And, you know, so many women don't go the route of science or technology or engineering and math. And I know the big STEM focus is a big thing, but what, you know, for technology, what are some of the things that you're seeing are the biggest challenges you know, as you see it for careers with young women and young girls? Because you see a lot, you know, with who you come across. What are the biggest challenges there for women?
Absolutely. So a lot of people don't know this, but in the 40s and 50s, women were the programmers. Programming was kind of an administrative duty. So a lot of women working on the huge computers, and slowly, you know, after World War II, kind of, and a lot more women became programmers. And even through the college, a lot of women came through the computer science. In the 80s, actually had women, and we're actually lower now than having women in going into computer science and tech. But the good thing is that there's so much publicity going on. There's so many, you know, companies in Silicon Valley and tech companies everywhere who are really initiating very big diversity and inclusion programs, and not just for women, but also for minorities, because for every lack of, you know, white female programmers, there's even less black female programmers, Hispanic, and so on. So there's a real effort right now to really get more women into tech and tech companies to really change their culture. And as we know about Silicon Valley, it hasn't always been very friendly to women. And
right.
That's a big reason why a lot of women never stay to the C-level. You know, every time you see a great story about women in tech in Silicon Valley, it's the same five women, right? It's Meg Whitman, it's Sheryl Sandberg, it's Marissa Mayer. So it's you know, they go into computer programming, they go work at tech companies, and a lot of times they don't stay to the C-level, and that's some things we'd really love to see change.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. You know, and I know with your conference, you have a big mission and a passion, you know, for women to learn more about technology. Can you describe the day of what happens at the Geek Girl Tech Con? And, of course, we want you to tell when the event is in San Diego, but the other dates as well, because we have, you know, our listeners are national, so maybe they want to hop over to Cape Cod or something next month.
Yeah, sure. So we're starting off in April 6th in Boston at Microsoft Center, the Research and Development Center in Cambridge. So we're doing a day of tech that Thursday. Followed up on Saturday on Cape Cod, where Geek Girl started on April 9th for a full day. And there's a lot of small business there, and we really cater to the technology for small businesses. And then June 18th is when San Diego TechCon, in its fourth year, and that will be held at USD at the Joan Kronk Peace Center. And TechCon is a really awesome event. It's hands-on learning. You bring your laptop, you bring your tablet. There's over 80 workshops going on. There are panels going on. We have the Sharkette Tank Pitch Fest, where we have 12 ladies pitching their companies, their startups. But also for the guys listening and for your husbands and your sons too, up to 25% of the attendees are men and boys that we bring in from some of the school systems also. We really like to get a lot of the younger kids into the program also. So usually,
right,
you know, we're about middle school and high school. We love to give some scholarships, especially to the underserved schools, to get the kids in here, to come have them hang in the hack room. And mostly the girls seeing the other female instructors, and they see them as mentors. And that's really, really important for younger girls to understand that, hey, she's a programmer. She's really cool. Maybe I'll try that.
Well, and, you know, you've done these for so many years. And I have to tell you, I've been, and it's like, oh, my gosh, watching the Sharkette Tank Pitch that went on when I was at it. It was amazing to watch how polished the presenters were and making their pitch, you know, to a group of investors, right? I mean, they dealt in that world. That was pretty cool to see, kind of like Shark Tank, but in a different way for women. That was awesome. If we can distinguish it between, like, let's say career women versus women owners, for career women, you know, based on, I can't believe you have 80 different workshops, but some of the different workshops that might be applicable for career women, what have been some of the most popular, you know, workshops or that you think would be really important professional women or women who work for companies to come and see and attend based on the different workshops?
Yeah, so I have this thing. And a lot of people think that the technology department at anybody's company is for the IT guys. And that's wrong. Everybody should have a great concept of how the internet works. And I know that sounds kind of funny because it's like, I know how the internet works. I turn on the button, you know. But if you find out more about how the internet works, what to look out for, trends, you know, about your computer, how to keep it maintained, what's going on, what are the new things, what are the new apps, what are the new efficiency apps you can bring into your business. So there's a ton of work efficiency apps that even the enterprise companies in San Diego and around the country can really adapt to. So there's plenty of workshops like that. To understand how your company works, whether it's a small business or very large, all the classes, you know, you can jump around from if you want to learn how to code to taking social media to building your own mobile app to Photoshop, even QuickBooks for some of the smaller companies who want to use QuickBooks. Intuit's a sponsor this year. We're really excited about that. Microsoft is a sponsor, so they're going to be doing some things with Microsoft products. And we have some companies who are in data who are going to be doing some cloud-based classes. We also have three of the most outstanding developer boot camps in San Diego who are our sponsors. So there's going to be at least three tracks of programming. And just to get a sense of, you know, what programming is all about, it's not really difficult. It's all about problem solving. And women are the ultimate problem solvers. We solve problems every day. So it's very easy to go into something like that. You're basically solving a problem. So I would really encourage a lot of women at any age. The best thing about TechCon is that we have women on all ages learning how to build their own WordPress website, come and learn how to code, build their own mobile app. And, you know, some of them are in their 50s and early 60s. So that it's never too late to get into technology. And our youngest at an event has been 8, so that it's never too young to get into technology.
I can't imagine an 8-year-old, but, I mean, that does lead to another question, Leslie, and that's, like, you know, the whole age factor. I mean, I think there's two things going on, and I love your perspective on this. It's like, you know, the young millennials, you know, they're so, I think, very sophisticated. They're very app-savvy, technology things, and 60-somethings that are very averse, you know, to kind of embracing, as I've been, you know, and taking on social media, Facebook, Twitter, all of that. How do you, you know, let's talk about the millennials for a minute. I mean, you know, the one thing with them is they are tech savvy, but, you know, you try to put them together face-to-face with people or interact from a people skills standpoint. Any thoughts on that? Because I think it's great to be tech savvy, but what are we doing to help the millennials there, you know, with more technology? How can they, you know, kind of just at a human level maybe be more focused? That's my biggest complaint about millennials is I love them and I've learned so much from them, but from a people skills level, it's like, whoa, we gotta have them kind of maybe learn some of those. Or what are your thoughts on that as a tech gal? Leslie?
World that's completely wired.
Yep, you know, I lost her. Say it again. Sorry, dear.
Millennials are coming in completely wired world.
Leslie, I think I'm missing you. I'm so sorry. There you are.
Okay. So millennials are completely world, and a lot of us have been through the same sort of, you know, some have technologies passed us over. For some of us, we did have computers, but, you know, we didn't have iPads. We didn't have iPhones. So the millennials have a step up on a lot of things. Yes, they're really good at apps. They're great at Snapchat, great at other things, but they're still not necessarily going into areas where that's going to be their full-time job. They understand technology and how to use it and social media and digital media, but a lot of them aren't going into careers for that. And what we want to do is, hey, instead of using Snapchat, why don't you become a developer and build your own Snapchat or build your own app? So that's one of our biggest things that we'd like to cross over with. We do have a lot of
women who
we do have a lot of older women. I'm not a spring chicken anymore either, but I still feel like I'm in my 20s. Women in their 50s and 60s who are going back and learning this. We had an event the other night, and two of the women were coders going back to college to learn how to code, and they were in their early 60s. It was phenomenal. I mean, it was a really, really awesome thing. And the entire room at this event, we all gave them a standing O. And we had probably half men and half women in there. And I thought that was really indicative of, you know, never stop trying. You can get there. If you really want to go to school and get this done, you know, you're going to do it. So it's never too late to learn everything you can about technology. And at least if you don't want to be a programmer, just understand how technology works and be safe.
It's fascinating because, again, I've been, and it's like I know I was hungry for more information. And I guess out of disclosure, I was one of those who begrudgingly embraced social media. You know, just wasn't seeing the purpose of it, but this was many years ago, and then knew and realized that I was behind the times. You know, I mean, I've been in business over 20 years, and I think the more I'm in business, the faster things seem to keep changing, and the more you have to keep up, you know, with not just, you know, it used to be just LinkedIn, and then it was Twitter and Facebook and all of that. So I'm kind of curious, you know, for, let's just say, the more seasoned woman, whether they own a business or as a career woman, what are some of the most important things that you see from a woman who's in her 50s or late 40s or 60s that they need to take on that they're just not, you know, kind of embracing enough? Kind of curious.
There's a lot of women in those ages that they're starting their own businesses late in life. And it could be a completely different business than what their day job is. And they want to sell something or they want to do something. It could be real estate. It could be making, some kind of product. The thing is, if your customers that you're aiming for are on social media or read blogs or they're on Instagram, you know, it's kind of like Caddyshack, remember? You know, to get the gopher, I've got to think like the gopher. You have to figure out where your audience is and what they're using. And if you want to tap into that, you know, you're going to have to do that. You can always hire people, but you at least have to know where your audience is and how they want to get your information. If most of your people, if you're a foodie or a fashion person, you know, Instagram is the place you got to be. So it really has to depend what people are going into and finding where their audience is. And you got to tap into that. I also believe that you need to keep educating yourself. You know, when I first started Geek Girl, there wasn't the plethora of YouTube videos, how to do this, how to do that. And now we have so much that you can do on your own. Most of it's free. There's always workshops in every city in America about either social media, blogging, marketing, anything like that. There's also Geek Girl TechCon, and that's what we do for a lot of people is get them very aware about their marketing and social media side as well.
I have to tell you, one of the things I love most about you is just how you've branded your business. I mean, you and I say this with ultimate respect, is you come across as a geek. It's like it's very girl-centric. It's like it just is packaged in such a nice thing. You know, for those of our listeners that want to reach you, let's say if they're interested in Geek Girl TechCon or if they just want to raise their hand and have a conversation with you, can you share where you'd like people to reach you and how you want them to approach you?
Absolutely. Our website is geekgirlcamp.com. You can always email me at Leslie, L-E-S-S-I-E, at geekgirlcamp.com. You can see anywhere we're having our Geek Girl Tech Cons at geekgirltechcon.com. And you can also follow us on Facebook at Geek Girl Camp, on Twitter at Geek Girl Camp, and Instagram at Geek Girl Camp. So follow us on social media, email me. I always return emails within 24 hours. It's just something I do believe in. So feel free to contact me. Unless you're trying to sell me something or, you know, want me to put some money into an account in Nigeria, I'm not going to do it. But I will answer you. And if I can't get an answer for you, I'll find another geek girl to help out, or I'll get the answer for you.
That's great. Okay, so I got to look forward with you and go, you know, when you look at kind of the BHAG, those big, hairy, audacious goals, it's like, what do you envision for Geek Girl TechCon, or where are you trying to go? And, I mean, do you want, like, Geek Girl in every major city throughout the U.S. or international? Give us the magic wand of the future of Geek Girl TechCon.
I mean, there should be a Geek Girl TechCon on every main street. It should be everywhere. I would like to take it to as many cities as possible to make people aware of having some hands-on training. That's the most important thing. there are two things you can't get, you know, away with in this world, and one of them is money, the other is education. And education is the most important thing.
Agree.
You don't necessarily have to have a college degree, but I'm just saying the more education that you have, you're going to go further in life. So it's always good to keep training yourself, keep doing it, and keep it on. So, yeah, I would love to see Geek Girl Tech Con spread everywhere. Who knows? Maybe around the globe, too. But I think the even bigger thing in America would be that everybody knows how to code and knows all these different sort of things. So, I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, maybe you don't need a Geek Girl Tech Con after a while if everybody's coming up to the educational level. And that would be really nice to see also. But
wow.
I do this because I'm passionate about it. But, you know, if I've solved the problem and everybody is really tech-centric in America, I mean, wouldn't that be great to have such a valuable workforce as that?
I got to tell you, that's pretty powerful. You're thinking you're kind of like putting yourself out of business whether it's not necessary to have the Geek Girl Tech Con. That's a wow. Wow.
Yeah, but I can always knit sweaters for chickens and goats or something. I mean, that's, you know, there's another. I'm an entrepreneur by trade, so I'll find something else, whether it's sweaters for goats. Who knows?
Well, and that's my question to you. I mean, first of all, I don't see you doing that. That's one thing. But number two, it's like when you think of you and you're sharing, and I totally agree with the whole lifelong learning thing, and I think more of us need to remember. I mean, I went to college, and then it's like I came from commercial banking as my corporate career, started a business only because I was going through my fifth merger in banking, and it was like, you know, there were so many things you had to learn in running a small business, but also seeing just since the 90s, what's changed, you know, in life and business and industry. And I'm curious for you, because you are so up to speed on technology, what is it for you that really is the next step for you from a learning standpoint? You know, what is it you're looking at next that you feel is the kind of next learning step for you as Leslie, you know, with Geek Girl?
You know, the big things that we're coming into in technology are machine learning, AI, artificial intelligence, you know, all the big companies like Apple, Google, Facebook, they're all buying AI companies, artificial intelligence companies, because that's what's going to be the next stage with the web. Anything to do with, you know, I have an assistant, I have a virtual, it's not a real virtual assistant, it's an AI assistant. So I do all my scheduling, I do all my calendars, I do everything like that. And it's machines. They're totally taking care of my schedule. I just schedule, you know, tell them what's going on, and they make everything for me. So a lot of that is going to be very futuristic. You know, we hear about internet, you know, everything driven by the internet, whether it's your lights at home. We call it the Internet of Things. Anything to do with the cloud. All these are very, very important things. But on the other side, I'm also extremely concerned. And we do a lot of classes for younger girls, especially on digital footprint and branding yourself. So, you know, personal branding, digital footprint, what you're leaving on the internet, what you should not be putting on the internet, how to create a tech bond with your kid, set up some kind of rules in the house about what you should be on and what you shouldn't. You know, and parents can't shut down their Facebook account. You know, just like that, there's got to be an understanding, like, what they're doing. There's too many crazy people online. There's, you know, there's predators out there. They start grooming kids online. They meet up with them. There's some bad results that have happened. I'd like to make families more aware of that, and I'd like to work with younger girls. And we do. We go speak to some schools, and we do it really in a fun way. So we're getting them to take selfies. We're getting them to, you know, Google yourself online, find this information, and it really shows, like, what you should not be putting on, because colleges and other people do read your stuff online, and it could have an impact in a job, or it could have an impact getting into a college.
It totally does. You know, I interact with HR directors all the time, and they will say, you know, for young professional women, you know, especially in college, be really careful what gets online, because that is the first thing recruiters and employers will look at, is your social media presence. You know, right or wrong, good or bad, should they or shouldn't they are. You know, I mean, that's what is right now. So I totally agree with you. It's you got to be careful. But then that's a subject for another call, don't you think, and for another radio show?
Oh my God, anything in tech can just go on for hours and days. So yeah, of course.
I will leave us on a high note. It's like, I want to know what's the funnest thing you love about Geek Girl Tech Con, and it's like our time's almost up. So what is the funnest thing that you love about Geek Girl?
Probably the cocktails after the event. So, martini and stuff after the event. No, the part, the pictures afterwards, the emails, the tweets, the Facebook posts about, oh my God, I learned so much. You know, all like, it's so exciting to have people come there, have a great time. But not only that, for them to send you an email to thank you and say, you know, I took your classes and I got a job in this, or I'm going to try for this position. You gave me some confidence. So it's just, those are the best feelings in the world.
Pretty cool. All right, so I'm going to say that's our show, Leslie. I want to say thank you so much for being our leading lady today, and to our listeners, we always, you know, love your loyalty and that you listen in and you comment about our shows. And Leslie, I'd like to have you back again at some point. To all of our listeners, I want to share with you, we're here each Friday at 2 p.m., and our leading lady next week is Lindy Stoller, who is the president of Stoller Media and Books. And our topic is going to be on tips for publishing your six-figure bestseller. And Lindy, you have to listen in. This woman has worked with the likes of Anthony Robbins, the late Michael Jackson, has a real expertise in traditional book publishing. So I hope you'll listen in. And to everyone listening, have a great weekend. We love that you listen in. And one thing I always like to say is, if you're a woman and you're a woman in business, go out there and be an advocate on behalf of each other. So have a great weekend, and we'll see you next Friday.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.